Hello, ladies and gents. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. Great to have Adam Boyd-Brown on today talking about his experiences of anxiety in his young years, but more importantly, how we overcame anxiety and how we sort of done it through managing his own stress levels. So enjoy the episode. This is a really good one and great to have a good friend on. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Brain podcast. God, how many times I've done this and got that right, but I just got it wrong. Today you were joined with me by my friend and a personal trainer that I'm fortunate to spend the unit with, unless he's leaving kit out, Adam Boyd Brown.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate.
You would miss that. You would miss that.
So obviously this is your second time of seeing me today, once in person, now on Zoom. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, do you know what? I usually only get like a couple of hours of time with the Bazant, but I feel very fortunate. I get to start the week with a little extra.
What's quite strange is me and Adam spend actually quite a lot of time together, but we actually never really get any time to properly talk or anything, isn't it? Because obviously we get like the 5 minutes before a client leaves and a new client comes in, but we actually never get time to chew the fat anymore.
Yeah, unless we actually make time, which to be fair, we used to do, but we need to start doing a little bit more now.
Yeah, or there is the off chance when we both get a last minute cancellation and we will go to somewhere to get a flat white.
There you go. That's it. I know. We need more clients to start cancelling. It's just a problem making up.
No, I don't need that at the moment. So, Adam, something I learned from a Lift the Bar podcast that Stuart Aiken, when he spoke to you about, was actually, I learned loads from this episode about Adam, stuff that I didn't even know. And this is basically based around some of the things that Adam's gone through in his early years around anxiety. So Adam, mate, let's start there. Let's go pre-uni.
Yeah, so pre-uni. So this would have been kind of my really, really early 20s is... kind of around that time I was into training, into, you know, health as such, in more of a kind of bodybuilding aspect. I loved that side of things. I loved the training element, but like most sort of early 20-year-olds, I was definitely burning the candle at both ends, drinking a lot, going out a lot, just like, you know, majority of people are doing. And I was just noticing that kind of alongside doing that, I was starting to almost get, it was almost in like the background. I was starting to, and it was just sort of quite deep rooted, you know, in terms of like my mental health. I just started noticing that I would feel a little bit more anxious, feel a little bit more almost kind of like internal pressure seeping into my day and into just my kind of, I guess, general behaviors, where there always felt like there was, you know, a bundle of different thoughts that were kind of happening all at the same time, you know, and it was almost like I couldn't cling to one thought at a time. And then it started manifesting a little bit more physically, in terms of just sort of feeling like a bit breathless, you know, elevated heart rate, sleep was extremely, extremely poor. And then it started getting to the stage where to kind of get to sleep or to be able to almost kind of numb myself to be able to actually fall asleep and stuff like that, I just started drinking a little bit more. So not only was I already drinking a lot, but it was getting to the point where I started needing almost that just to chill out and just to almost relax myself. And so it started really kind of, I guess it stemmed originally from there. It was something that at the time, you know, being in my early 20s guy, pretty social and being into the gym and training and stuff like that, there wasn't really anyone else that was talking about that. Like, I didn't realize that anyone else was kind of struggling with that, and being very young and you know, naive to the world and the fact that, you know, actually anxiety is something that a lot of people kind of deal with, I was kind of just almost trying to, you know, put it to the back of my mind or trying to, you know, actively avoid it, rather than starting to make the changes that really did did help me deal with that kind of in the long term.
Did you go through, when you said there was loads of things going on, was that like a massive overwhelm when you were trying to latch onto one thing, but you just so overwhelmed of how many things were going on?
Yeah, I mean, the feeling of overwhelm with anxiety is an odd one, because sometimes there's no particular reason for why you might be feeling like that. Certainly these days, if I start feeling that way, it's because there are a million and one things going on. But back then, it wasn't actually the case. It wasn't that I was dealing with a million and one different things. Didn't have a family back then, didn't have my own business back then. And I think the biggest sort of almost like root cause or initial starting point was being in a job that provided me with just actually no sense of self-satisfaction. So, you know, I was completely living for, well, I'd say the weekends, but like my weekend used to start on Thursday and then on Monday.
Thursday.
Yeah, thirsty Thursdays, all sorts going on. And but because I didn't really have anything, I guess, provided me with that kind of self-worth, self-value in terms of from a day-to-day aspect with the job I was working in, I felt this real like almost lack of like
purpose,
achieved potential. Achieved potential. And it kind of just started snowballing into, well, you know, all I've got to live for is going out on the piss. And you know, at the end of the day, there was certainly an element of the kind of physical and the physiology of, you know, not looking after myself, driving that psychological issue. But, you know, the anxiety itself just got kind of worse and worse and worse as I got older, as it, you know, does typically tend to do with people. Obviously, as you get older, you start thinking about things a lot more. You'll naturally, let's say, take on a lot more in terms of like emotional baggage and stuff like that. It was just becoming a bit more of a kind of snowballed effect, with the anxiety just getting worse and worse. And I remember, you know, in the job I used to work a kind of office-based job. It was nothing I envisaged myself doing at all. Didn't provide me with any kind of challenge or anything like that. It was more just a case of kind of data entry. And I remember just being sat there sometimes, like for like a full 8-hour day, feeling like I couldn't catch my breath, you know, feeling like, and it just got kind of built up to a head where, you know, there was a point in time where I probably took about, you know, 2 weeks off of work, and I felt almost like agoraphobic.
What job was this, by the way?
This was working for an energy company. So this was working as essentially like gas administration for an energy company. And also, actually, as even before that, it would have been working kind of as on kind of the phone, you know, so like a call center based role within that. And, you know, at that point, it was, like I say, a case of I would spend a whole day in at work, and, you know, I felt anxious all day, every day. There was no real, you know, apart from, like I say, when I'd get kind of absolutely hammered at the weekend and I would numb myself to that, there wasn't really anything providing me with that, you know, that kind of sense of relief from it. And it got to the point where I just identify myself as being that individual who was anxious. Like, I had anxiety, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I personified anxiety. And having worked with, you know, loads and loads of clients, obviously, over the past kind of 5-6 years, it's easy now for me to kind of recognize that in others who have suffered in the same way, as, you know, completely identifying themselves as being that anxious individual.
Yeah, because it's funny, isn't it? Anxiety, like the way we all have it and we all experience it at different times. And then there's obviously some people like yourself who experience it in a much different way. And it's like you can get the short burst of it, like, and then you can obviously get the long-term burst of it, like you had, obviously. Let's go back before the energy company. Obviously, what you was at uni, did that sort of create a worse environment for it then?
So it was the other way around.
So
I went to uni when I was 24.
Right.
And the main reason I decided to go to university was it got to the point where the lack of
drive
and potential, I was kind of like, I need something here. Do you know what I mean? I need something to drive me to feel, you know, like I'm achieving success in. And so that prompted the decision for me to go to university. And actually, if anything, that was probably a big factor in me kind of getting over it, you know, like whilst if I'd gone to uni, you know, when I was 18, it would have only got worse, 100% only got worse. I think, you know, it wouldn't have possibly been the best time for me to go. It would have probably been wasted time. And as such, you know, I'm not using my degree in any way, shape or form, but it gave me so many other things that really helped me long term, both as a trainer, as a coach, by becoming that mature student who had something that they were invested in, had something to work towards. And that really provided me almost with like the kickstart to managing and getting over that, the, you know, overwhelming anxiety I was feeling.
I imagine it added like a purposeful distraction, essentially, wasn't it? You've actually had a bit of focus. You could see an outcome, the degree, yep. And you can see that roadmap, like we try and do with our clients, you know, like there's an outcome as always. And you could probably see and vision that. And that's what probably gave you that sense of purpose, because obviously where you was, you knew, and it's not to like downplay anyone that does any kind of job, but you felt deep inside you, there was a small percentage saying, I'm better than this. I'm worth more. I need to do more.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's because it's completely different in terms of what, you know, like what you enjoy, what you're good at, what drives those feelings of self-satisfaction and success. And for me, it wasn't doing that, you know. And so actually going to university, I've always been someone who's kind of naturally, I guess, quite academic. You know, it did give me that. Yeah, it did give me that sense of, oh, wow, I'm actually good at this, like that sense of achievement. I did really, really well in my degree. And then alongside that, what, you know, hugely kind of massively helped was I got more and more into my fitness, got more and more into my training. And actually, when it got towards the end of being at university, that was actually becoming my bigger driver. I was like, oh, I'm quite good at this. Like I was invested in that. I was actively looking after myself, and naturally from doing that, feelings of anxiety were reducing from, you know, essentially feeling that success in other areas of my life, which is where I wasn't feeling it before. I think a big driver in helping the reduction of the anxiety was just management of my boozing.
Yeah.
You know, it's everyone who's ever had a hangover knows that they'll get that beer fear the next day.
Yeah.
And when you were living half your week beforehand with that beer fear, you know, like it was only going to seep into becoming more and more of my week that, you know, even when I wasn't sort of, you know, high blood alcohol level, I was going to feel some sense of anxiety. So that was, you know, one of the biggest things that helped was actually paying attention first and foremost to my own health, my nutrition, and you know, more than anything, sleep and stress management. Those were probably the biggest factors that helped me with definitely managing my anxiety alongside just not identifying with it.
Yeah.
You know, not having it become something that was part of my identity. Was just like you said just a minute ago, everyone experiences anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think when I kind of realized that it's just a natural physiological response. Do you know what I mean? It's that fight or flight.
Yeah.
And actually everyone will experience it to some degree. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, someone who is the toughest person mentally you could ever think of, who's been all, you know, through all kinds of things, or somebody who's on the other end of the spectrum who really, really suffered with it like I did. You'll get it to some end on the spectrum. Actually helping, that really, really helped me, because all of a sudden I was just like, no, I don't have anxiety. I'm just feeling a bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, and that was same again. It was a kind of a huge driver alongside eventually, you know, finding, I guess, my sort of true calling.
It's good that you spoke about how the sort of the identity change, because I know that's obviously what James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits about.
Yep.
And this is something for people to listen to as well. If you're someone that always puts yourself down, or you say you're something, you know, you'll always be that person unless you make the shift. Do you know what I mean? If you're someone, let's say, easiest way, someone that's overweight, and they always talk about themselves, nah, I'm always fat, I'll always be this, I'll always be that. You won't change until you start realizing that identity needs to change, isn't it? You know, because you're sort of in that sense of you're feeling powerless instead of powerful.
Yeah.
So it's good that you said that. And it's quite good to hear, because obviously you did this actually before even reading that book and knowing about the identity thing. But now you've probably looked back and realized, oh,
that's what it was.
Yeah, that is what it was.
And that's it. Like, identity drives action. Identity will drive behavior change. And, you know, like when I read sort of, you know, some of James Clear's stuff, and definitely, if you've never checked out any of James Clear's stuff, head to his website. He's, you know, correct. But it really all of a sudden was like, wow, okay, that, you know, I can relate to that, because it was exactly how it ended up going. And it was exactly how I ended up, you know, kind of, sort of getting to the point where I, you know, was someone who, oh, okay, you know, like that guy's in good shape. Because what I did is I identified myself as being a bodybuilder, you know, like, and because I did that, actually it did drive behavior change. Not the, always the greatest, don't get me wrong, but not, I guess for the most part, it was good change. It was looking after myself. It was paying attention to my nutrition and being committed to the gym and doing things that now I wouldn't fucking do ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like being that committed and spending that time, making it that much of a priority, because I identified as being a bodybuilder, just in the same way that on the other end, I identified as being that person who had anxiety. And you'll know it yourself with any of your clients that you've, you know, worked with who have made long-term changes. You know, we're talking 5 years down the line of initially losing that weight. They are still in an amazing place. They still get all their training in and stuff like that. They'll be the people who now identify as being, I'm a gym goer. I'm somebody who looks after myself. And that's awesome. Like when you can get somebody to that place, you know that that's it. They've made a change now and that's sticking.
Yeah.
The hard part, and you know, this is the thing that unfortunately we do see, you know, you do see with people, and when you've worked with them and when you've worked in certain group environments, is people will make a change, but that change will just be something they're doing for an external purpose, for an external reason, because of they've got a time frame, because, you know, they have to be accountable to someone. As a coach, what you want to be able to try and get people towards is, you know, being able to do this for themselves, because it's part of their new identity. I think this is why things like CrossFit is actually such a powerful place and community for people. You know, like we can kind of shit on CrossFit sometimes for some of the other aspects of it. But the community that it builds, and people identify as I'm a CrossFitter. You know, and because they're a CrossFitter, they're within a bunch of other people who are that. And, you know, you do become the average of the people you spend your time with. And if everyone you're kind of training with is like, oh, you know, I'm eating a diet that is predominantly, you know, protein, grains, keto. Vegetables. But, you know, if you're kind of, you know, spending time within these people, you're identifying yourself, those actions are just going to align themselves with you. And this is where certainly when you're trying to make changes, having a community that do kind of almost embody that is such a powerful tool. Yeah. And it can be something that sticks with you long term. Once it's become such automated behavior, you can move away from those kind of communities and still, you know, keep that within you if that's something you feel very, very powerfully attached to, and it feels like it's kind of part of you know, your own self-worth.
So you're obviously going through uni, you're on this good road, let's say everything's getting better. How quick did you notice it was the dominant factor was the booze?
It would probably been like within that first kind of year, I think. It was probably when I was getting to like 24. So yeah, it would have been that first year. And naturally started drinking a little bit less. I've been, you know, with now my wife Hannah, I've been with her for a good couple of years. Lucky girl. you know, like naturally, I think I'm imagining most people or a lot of people will be able to, you know, will kind of relate to the fact that you, as you're in a long-term relationship, you do typically tend to go out less, you know, it's
slow
not like
down.
It's, yeah, exactly, slow down. And I just started noticing like one of the biggest things, like sleep, you know, because I was drinking a lot less, I was sleeping a hell of a lot better. I'm someone who suffered like insomnia even from school years, you know, going 18 months 2 years at a time without sleeping much more than a couple hours a night. And as soon as I kind of started prioritizing my own nutrition a little bit more, prioritizing my own recovery and my stress management, lo and behold, anxiety massively, massively improved because of spending much less of my day in that fight, you know, mode and being a lot actually, you know, in a much better place. And I think stress management, sleep, if you're really suffering with anxiety, you can't go far wrong with making those your two biggest priorities to start with.
Yeah. It's just, unfortunately, I wish it was easy as that, isn't it? Because you'll have this person who's stressed and then they're laying in bed just thinking about stuff and they're like, I'm trying to sort my sleep out, but I've gone to bed at 9 o'clock tonight, but it's 12 now.
I mean,
so tough.
So, like, one of the biggest tools, I guess, that I used at that time, which massively helped me, it doesn't have the same impact on everyone, but was meditation.
Yeah.
I downloaded Headspace and I essentially just really fucking, you know, I really made it a big part of like my daily process was, okay, I'm going to make sure I do some meditation. I just started with a minute and then I ended up doing two and then three and then four. And then it got to a point where I could meditate for sort of 20 minutes at a time. And that was such a powerful tool because that was just that time spent in that relaxed mode.
It's focus, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And if now, you know, it's still a tool that I'll use from time to time if I do notice that anxiety is kind of creeping up, which has been a little bit lately with a bunch of different work things going on, with drinking a little bit more, I can start kind of seeing the warning signs now before, which I didn't until I was a good couple years down the road previously. And I think that was one of the biggest things, like I said at the start, like nobody would be talking about that at that at that point in time. Like none of my mates at that time really could relate to the fact that I was suffering with the anxiety in the way I have. And now I'm in my 30s, loads of those mates from then are suffering now. Do you know what I mean? And I can see it in them. I can see that that's something that they're struggling with. And they can finally relate to it. They're like, fucking hell, like, I didn't realize quite what at that time you were going, you know what I mean? What it felt like, what I'm going through. And you know, they're starting to feel that now. I think the biggest almost like eye opener was when I spoke about it when I first started as a PT. And obviously we were working together at Grenade Fit, the gym we were at, and it had quite a big online presence.
Yeah.
And I remember being told, like, you know, you need to show people the real you and put yourself out there and all that. And I spoke about anxiety on a video that I put out on my socials, and it got like something ridiculous. It got like 7,000 views.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was definitely a lot for me. I didn't exactly have a lot of followers, but then I got, you know, hundreds of comments on it, like, fucking hell, I'm suffering this in the same way, you know. And it was guys in their early 20s who were interested in the gym and all that type of stuff were like, oh, fucking hell, I can finally relate to that. Sorry for the swearing.
Can you stop swearing on podcasts, mate? Fuck's sake.
It is spending time with you.
It's spending time with me, isn't it?
But no, and that was like a big eye opener. Was like, oh God, like people are relating to this, and actually, you're not alone in it.
No.
And that was a big thing. Like, if you are struggling with anxiety, like it really, really helps to just speak to some people. Whether you speak to somebody who's a professional about it,
yeah,
it can be very, very useful because it just gets it out there. It just helps you vocalize, why you're feeling those ways. Because sometimes, like I said, it's overwhelm. You know, you don't know why you're feeling that way. You can't put a finger on it. But sometimes it really helps just as like the process, just to speak about it a little bit.
Did you ever feel, because obviously you've gone from university and you've gone, like, you've gotten into fitness and now you've gone into sort of bodybuilding, you've obviously competed as well. And that's on one, it's not extreme, but that is like quite a far overside, isn't it? Like starting going to compete. Did that ever bring it back? Because obviously there's that pressure again, isn't there, of I've got to stick to this nutrition, stick to this training plan, do as I'm told. Did you ever feel anxious around that?
Do you know what? I didn't really. I'm like, and I think you'd probably agree with this, is that I'm someone who can be quite balanced.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd finish a show and I wouldn't suffer with the same issues that other people would have kind of post shows, where you know, binge or rebound. I was always quite good at going from one to the other. And I think that was because outside of, you know, bodybuilding and stuff like that, I did have things that were helping keep me a bit more grounded. And that meant that kind of, whilst there was a point where it probably placed, I placed way too much of a priority of it, I still had things going on outside of that, which gave me the, you know, and also, like I say, because for me, a big factor in it was just not looking after myself, you know, like alcohol, sleep, all of that type of stuff, not being in a good place. Whereas when it came to that, I was kind of like
in control.
No, it has to be. And that was it. It was feelings of control actually really helped. The anxiety would more come up, you know, even these days it will come up more if I've, you know, if I'm not feeling great, you know, if I have overdone it the night before, that will be the only times typically what I will feel that anxiety. But if it does start seeping into life a little bit more, that's the thing. I do have my tools. I do have my little, you know, my little box of tricks that I can kind of go to, which does really, really help bring it back. And that's the thing. I think, if you can identify those types of things and you're someone who suffers with anxiety, you know, it is worth kind of finding that strategy or placing an emphasis on that.
What, so back again, and then we'll come forward with it. How did Hannah get on with it? As in, like, I imagine obviously she was supportive, but did she notice the shit? So how old was you when you started going out of Hannah?
I was 22.
So she went through it with you actually then?
Yeah, she went through it with me, definitely. It was kind of, it was just gradually building up, I think, when we first got together. Like, I wasn't sleeping at all then. And she, you know, like, it used to be, and like, you know, we're both young, so we're both drinking too much and all that. So that didn't seem unusual for her. But the lack of sleep I was getting was kind of a bit like, God, you know, do you sleep? Like, you know, like,
what is up with this dude?
Like, why do you not sleep at all? But she was supportive, but she didn't understand, you know, like, she wasn't suffering it with it in the way that I was. And, you know, she could be supportive, but she was the right amount of supportive. Like, she didn't allow me to kind of just wallow in it. You know, she kind of helped me get through that and get out of that. But now, you know, now we're older and she's suffered with kind of bouts of it herself, especially since we've had, you know, Rose and things like that. She finally goes, oh, I can finally understand like what you were feeling at that time. Because it, like I said, it's just really hard to almost vocalize and explain what that kind of anxiety feels like, other than just saying overwhelm. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like you're in a room with 1,000 different voices all talking at the same time, you know, at full volume, and you just can't figure out what any of them are saying. And that's the feelings I used to try just kind of get with it. And like I say, it's still how I would kind of explain it now, really.
So with that now, if she notices anything, is she straight on, like, because obviously you guys have matured, whereas before, years ago, she didn't understand, but now she does. Is she more on it to, like, is she, I suppose, more assertive? I suppose.
Nah, she's taking shit now.
Got your kids, that's it.
Those roses, all right. You need to sort yourself out. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's something that really, like, now I'm much quicker to mention it if I am feeling a little bit that way.
Oh, good. That's good.
And that helps. I don't even know why. It's kind of like, it helps having somebody on your team almost, you know, just kind of understanding it a little bit and knowing that you're feeling that way. However, quick to bring myself back a little bit now. And then I think actually having Rose has probably helped, because if I am feeling anxious, you know, what I used to do was avoid a lot of things. And that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is like, you know, when I mentioned that I almost got a bit agoraphobic, like I was almost worried to go outside the house for a little bit. It was now all of a sudden stepping out of the house was almost the problem. Do you know what I mean? And start avoiding too many things, those are going to be the root causes of anxiety you might feel, as opposed to the other way around. So now, you know, it really, I think it really has helped being a dad now. Is like, you know, doesn't matter. Rose don't care if I'm I'm feeling anxious. I've got shit to do. I need to go out and do that. Yeah, like I said, I think that still feeds into that not making it part of your identity now, because my identity now is becoming more being a dad, you know what I mean, who has to provide and all that type of stuff. And I know that kind of might not be the same for everyone, that maybe that kind of added mental pressure might have the opposite effect for some people, but for me that really helps. And that's why I think with, you know, anxiety and stuff like that, I don't think there's no one method that's going to fit all. Everyone's going to have a different experience of it. People don't even vocalize how they feel about it the same way that I would do with that kind of room full of voices. But you know, knowing kind of what I said before, what things do help you manage stress, what things do help you kind of bring you back to yourself, is just such an important tool, I think, with dealing with it.
So essentially it's trying to find out, I think you were quite fortunate in a way, because you sort of done it on your own and found and like looked to find out, right, what coping strategies or what can I do to get away from it. So I feel like that's, you're in quite a fortunate way that you've done that on yourself, whereas I suppose other people wouldn't look outside the box like that and be, you know, it'd be like, shit, I'm still stuck in this. Whereas hopefully they can go get professional help. Would you, is that something you, have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. And it's not even, I mean, I think the main reason that wasn't something I did was because, like, it wasn't until I think I'd started almost improving it that I realized that it was almost a problem, if you know what I mean. I kind of had started changing things, which ultimately led to me, you know, sort of not moving past it, because you have to move past it. And I think that's one thing that's important to understand, is like, you're always going to get bouts of anxiety. And it's just completely normal. It's part of being a human. But I think at that time, being a younger lad, counseling not being something that was talked about that often, it did mean that I didn't even think about going and doing it. I just kind of like, well, how can I fix this myself? How can I kind of sort this out myself? And I think in a way, like, meditation ended up being my form of kind of counseling, because it was it was almost kind of like a case of sort of self-counseling, really, you know, spending that time just with yourself and just kind of coming back to baseline, which might not make kind of any sense, but I do definitely think that now, if I had if I'd been a 33-year-old mind in a 22-year-old body, I would have just gone and got some counseling at that time, and it'd probably been a hugely powerful tool with speeding the whole thing up.
Would you have, because obviously, did you find speaking to other people massively helped? And I know you said about Hannah, you do that now, but did you ever have that opportunity when you were younger? Was there anyone that could relate?
Probably not really. You know, like I said, I could talk to Hannah about it, but I don't know if she hadn't experienced it in that same way. You know, I think it was, like I say, when I was probably like 25, 26, and I spoke about it first time, and that openly, you know, I found out how many people were suffering with it. At the end of the day, if you can get in front of 7,000 people or whatever it was, you're going to have, you know, 10% might have been in that same boat. You know, if you're only speaking to 20 people, then all of a sudden that 10%, you know, you may never speak to those two people or whatever. So, I think that's the thing, is where it's such a, it's so much more talked about now, you know, you really hope that much more people would kind of speak about it, understand it. You know, this was kind of like the day when I was suffering with it. It was pretty much before most social media, like, you know, and I can only imagine that if you're a youngster now,
makes it worse.
Yeah, exactly. But at least you can go to the right avenues to kind of talk about it. I didn't even know it was anxiety until I was, you know, like in my mid 20s.
Really?
I just thought what I was suffering with was just being like a bit mental, you know? And you know, I couldn't put my finger on why I was kind of feeling so breathless, I think, at that time. And definitely one of the biggest triggers for anxiety, especially with, you know, people that I've coached who suffer with it, is you start thinking there's something wrong with you because you're out of breath, or because you're feeling like this. You think, oh my God, there's something wrong with my health. You know, I'm going to have a heart attack, which is kind of what like a panic attack feels like. And so you start almost becoming a bit of a hypochondriac because you're like, oh fuck, there's something wrong with me. Like, you know, it's not here. It's something in here is the issue.
And do you think that you bring that issue on because obviously the brain plays such a vital role in stuff like that? Do you think you heighten that situation?
It's the driver of it all, isn't it? At the end of the day, that responds to that, and so that was the cause. But when I was in my early 20s, I thought this was the cause, you know. But I think that's where focusing in on my nutrition, my training, all that type of stuff, I was like, no, there can't be anything wrong with this. You know, there can't be anything wrong with my heart or respiratory or anything like that. It's got to be up here. And that helped because I wouldn't have ever meditated in my early 20s because meditation is too woo-woo, mate. No one meditates. Arnold did meditate. And I think when I found that out, I was like, okay, we'll give this a go. Yeah.
So if there's anyone that's listening and they can relate to this, because obviously you experienced this quite a few years ago, and now you're a much more mature person, you've got a kid, wife, all these other things. So, you know, actually you've got more responsibility now, if anything, haven't you, compared to mm-hmm. them. What would you advise to someone who may feel that and they feel that they're alone? What's a real basic thing that they can do for themselves, and then potentially, depending on, I suppose, finances, what would you progress them into? What would you progress them into, but like, what do you think they could do?
I'd definitely say finding people who you can talk to about it. Just vocalizing it a little bit is massively helpful, and whether that's, you know, somebody who is a professional, which if you can afford it, then perfect. That would be kind of, I guess, the ideal place to go, or at least communities of people who, you know, are going through that or have gone through that. Massively, massively helpful. Every kind of problem is made easier when it's shared, I think, you know. Alongside that, I would definitely say just things like focusing on, you know, downtime. You know, trying to take yourself out of that kind of heightened state of, you know, that fight or flight, and actually bringing yourself down to relaxing, chilling out a little bit. Whether you do that with meditation, whether you do that with just playing a sport or some exercise, or you do that with, you know, like I said, sort of meditation, anything like that. Something that you can do which just really helps you become a bit more centered, and to actually just focus on one thing at a time. Like, for me, overwhelm was just a million and one things coming into there at the same time. If I could focus on one thing, which was my breathing with meditation, then that was hugely, hugely helpful, kind of bringing me back from the brink of feeling it. Alongside that, if you can, you know, if you're calling yourself someone who's, I'm an anxious person or I have anxiety, then that is going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So moving away from that, looking at it as, no, it's just a completely, completely normal thing. Mm. Everyone's going to experience it to some extent all the time. Helps normalize it, helps make it a bit more human. And I guess, you know, like I say, those are my kind of the things that key help me. And then probably one other thing would just be, make sure you have something that provides you with some drive, with a feeling of success, with some self-worth. This is why exercise is such a useful tool for people who do suffer with anxiety, because you can achieve feelings of success every time you go in there.
There's even good research behind that as well. I don't know the paper, but I know that's been banded around quite a lot about they, you know, gave weight training to anxious individuals, and those guys saw like a massive return. I know Greg has shared that study quite a few times on the LTB group.
Yeah, huge, huge impacts on mental health, like almost more than the impacts that you could say for just physical health. You know, like you really, you know, I don't think there's just anything like it for being a kind of, you know, a tool for improved health, both mentally and physically.
Mm. You know, they both marry up with each other, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. One drives
the other. I always think, the mental needs to come first, though.
Yeah.
Usually. So, Adam, if anyone wants to get in contact with you, where would they find you? Obviously, I know M first, but not that.
Okay, so I mean, it's just, I need to go to school for like 10 years now and get appropriate qualifications. Now, if you want to contact me about training or nutrition, or just, you know, like I say, if you suffer with it and you can relate to it, I do, that'd be great if you can give me a message. But it's at Built by Brown PT on Facebook and Instagram, or you can just go to builtbybrown.com coder.uk, and you can always send me like a message through there.
So I'm not just going to end it just there. I was thinking about it and then I thought, actually, no. I know you've got a few new things coming up. What, tell us about them. I know you've got a few new little projects. A
few projects coming up. So I am currently working on a group monthly training program, all online, which is going to be centered around essentially people like dads, you know, business. It's all basically for guys who are lacking in a bit of time, really. So, you know, if you can relate to being in your 30s and 40s and not having the time that you used to have to, you know, put into your health, you got a bunch of other things you're juggling, then that's going to be something we're going to be targeting towards those guys. Just where you can go in the gym, you know you've put your deposit in the bank of your health, but it's not going to take loads of time. It's just going to be a supplement to your life rather than your whole life. So we've got some group stuff coming out that's going to be starting in September. Alongside that, I'm also going to be working with Ollie Carson on some stuff with his mentoring clients. So if you're a coach who's kind of looking to help improve your online services, kind of the way you deliver everything to your clients, then I'll be working with Ollie on that. So whether you're a PT or whether you're just someone looking at making your health a bit of a priority, then I'm here.
There you go, holler at your boy. So Adam, as always, mate, thank you for sharing your story. I know that will help a lot of people that do listen to it. Okay.
Good, bro.
Thank you, mate. Dude.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.